This week on the campaign trail, Governor Walker is defending his decision to reject federal funds for Medicaid, and he's defending his job creation record. A new ad is out accusing the governor of giving job creation money to campaign donors while Wisconsin remains last in the Midwest when it comes to job growth. We'll discuss these developments in the race for governor and other top stories in politics this hour with leaders from the Democratic and the Republican parties of Wisconsin. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August 21st. We will hear first from Democrat Mike Tate, and then after 7:30 from Republican Brian Schimming, and we will welcome your calls, your questions and views for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome Mike Tate, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being with us. Well, yesterday, the group Greater Wisconsin Committee released an ad attacking Governor Walker, saying that he's not doing well when it comes to job creation, saying that Wisconsin is last in the Midwest. And it goes further to say that Governor Walker's Economic Development Committee has been giving money to Governor Walker's donors. Your thoughts on that ad?
Well, I think that what we're seeing here in this race, and the reason this campaign is, I think, becoming one of the, if not the most competitive gubernatorial race in the country, it is really simple. It's because Scott Walker ran on creating jobs. He made a specific promise. And we've seen us now fall to dead last, 10th out of 10th in the Midwest in job growth. We've seen states all around us recover the jobs they've lost in the Great Recession. Wisconsin hasn't. We've seen the whole country recover the jobs they've lost in the recession, and we haven't. And you contrast that with Mary Burke's track record of success in creating jobs for experience in the private sector. And I think as we see the more voters learn about Mary, the more they learn about her very specific and detailed jobs plan, the more they feel like, you know, this is the best direction to go in. Someone who's not a politician, someone who comes from the private sector, and someone who's going to have a laser beam-like focus on creating jobs, growing the economy, and digging us out of last place in the Midwest.
Yeah, the governor commented on this ad yesterday as soon as it was released. He said, Wisconsin now ranks third in the Midwest for actual private sector job creation, citing data that just came from the employment statistics from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. So which is it? Are we third in the Midwest or last in the Midwest? What's going on here?
Well, you know, I think that the Journal Sentinel did a good job of noting that, you know, the numbers that Scott Walker referenced yesterday are pretty unreliable, and Scott Walker tends to reference them when they seem to be in his favor, and say that they're not worth a nickel when they're not in his favor. So, I think the reality is, and we've seen this in a lot of the public polling, Joy, which is 60% of the voters in this state say their own personal financial situation is worse off or the same as when Governor Walker took office. So, you know, you can't tell people things are better when they know it's not. And it's nice to say the economy is working and we all wish it was and we wish it was working better. But when people are still struggling and when they see the same type, you know, states, the same type of demographics and families very similar to ours in states like Minnesota and Iowa and Michigan doing better than they are here, I think you start to ask the question of, you know, put aside all the polarization and all the, you know, hectic craziness we've had in the last 4 years. Scott Walker ran on creating jobs. We've fallen off a cliff when it comes to job creation, and we aren't keeping pace with other states, states led by Democrats, states led by Republicans. And you contrast that with someone like Mary Burke, who's not a politician, someone who's not an ideologue, who's just going to, when she's elected governor, focus like a laser beam on creating jobs, making sure we have a great environment for small businesses to grow here, and digging us out of the dead last 10th out of 10th place in the Midwest that we are currently in for job growth.
What's The governor notes that the 100,000 plus jobs created since his term, while not the 250,000 jobs, that's more jobs created than Mary Burke when she was Commerce Secretary.
Well, you know, the reality is when Mary Burke was Commerce Secretary, we had some, I believe it's around 50,000 more jobs when she was Commerce Secretary than we did today. You know, look, in the beginning of 2011, every single governor in the country, every single state in the country was, mired in the depths of the Great Recession starting to come back. We've added jobs, and that's good, but what we haven't done is haven't fulfilled the campaign promise that Scott Walker made. And furthermore, other states have met the standards that Scott Walker claimed he could, and we haven't met them because Scott Walker has focused on dividing Wisconsin, has focused on pursuing a very ideological agenda, and hasn't really done the things necessary to create the type of environment to grow jobs. It's great that we've recovered 100,000 jobs that went away during the Great Recession, but we haven't recovered all the jobs that were lost. We're nowhere near meeting what Scott Walker promised to do. And unfortunately, our recovery has nowhere near matched our neighbors in the Midwest when, frankly, it should have. We've got a great workforce here in Wisconsin. We've got great people and innovative ideas. Unfortunately, we've had an administration that has hampered our ability to get ahead economically. That's why we need someone like Mary Burke, who just has a track record of success, not a politician. Obviously, was a huge leader in the growth that we've seen at Trek Bicycle Company, and has a real plan on how to get Wisconsin back to work and moving again, and moving past some of this just division and anger that hasn't really moved Wisconsin to where we need it to be.
We're talking with Mike Tate, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, about some of the issues making news on the campaign trail this week. We welcome your questions. We welcome your reaction. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So do you think that Wisconsin is moving in the right direction or the wrong direction when it comes to jobs? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Every week at this time during this hour, we talk about issues that are making news on the campaign trail. We're looking at some of the issues making news in the race for governor. We'll also talk about some other races in Wisconsin, including the race for attorney general, control of the state senate, and whatever you would like to talk about. We have with us during this half hour the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Mike Tate. In our next half hour, we will hear from Brian Schimming, who is with the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Open lines for you, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, not only is Governor Walker defending his job creation record this week, Mike Tate, he is also defending his decision to reject federal funds for Medicaid, saying what he did was the Wisconsin way. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think this is just another symptom of the problem, and frankly, one of the reasons that we are dead last in Midwestern job growth. So as we saw on Sunday in the Journal Sentinel, you know, turning down the Medicaid expansion money has cost Wisconsin about $200 million. So we've seen our tax dollars, the tax dollars I pay and you pay, go to provide low-cost health insurance to people in other states. And the tail of the tape here is pretty clear. In states where they've accepted Medicaid expansion, we've seen low-cost insurance be available to more people. We've seen healthcare costs come under control. We've seen businesses not be so strapped by the high cost of health insurance, they're able to reinvest in their business and create more jobs. And, you know, one of the reasons that Mary Burke's been pretty clear she would take the Medicaid expansion is not just because it would enable more people to have access to low-cost, affordable health care, but because it would create a healthier workforce, because it would create an environment where instead of people getting sick without insurance and going to the emergency room and not paying, which drives up your costs and my costs, people would have access to health care and the ability to, you know, if they feel themselves getting sick, go in early, get themselves checked out, not miss work, not drive down productivity. So there's a whole host of reasons. Scott Walker's approach has been to spend more money to cover fewer people. And it really makes no sense from an economic standpoint, no sense from a perspective of making sure Wisconsinites have access to affordable health insurance. And, you know, really was done not in the best interest of Wisconsin, not to help us grow jobs or get us out of the dead last place in the Midwest and job growth that we are, but because he wanted to appease the right-wing Tea Party base so he could run for president. And just another example of where we're one of the many reasons we're not keeping pace with the rest of the country. We haven't gotten the jobs back. We've lost the recession, which every other state around us has. And I just think that this is just such a clearly blatant partisan decision that's resulted in hurting people and hurting our economy.
By the way, we will be talking with two state lawmakers on our Monday state capitol report between 7 and 8 about the decision to not accept the federal money to expand Medicaid. And we will hear from State Senator Jennifer Schilling and State Representative Dean Knutson with differing views on how much that decision has cost the state. That's coming up in our state capitol report on Monday between 7 and 8. Now to some of your calls for Mike Tate, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Lois in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Lois.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was just going to say, how can you compare somebody with jobs that ran a bike shop compared to someone running a state? I mean, to me, she doesn't have a chance.
All right, so she says Mary Burke was running a bike shop, Mike Tate, and how can you compare that to chief executive of a state?
Well, I think that, you know, we see in Scott Walker someone who's a career politician, someone who spent maybe 5 minutes in the private sector versus Mary Burke. And we're hardly talking about the neighborhood bicycle shop, so I think it'd be wrong to demean small business owners. And Mary Burke wants to invest in small businesses because that's where a lot of job growth comes from. But let's talk about her experience at Trek, where as an executive, she helped grow Trek into $100 million a year corporation, the largest manufacturer of bicycles in North America. They employ close to 1,000 good-paying jobs right here in Waterloo, Wisconsin. They're a global company. They're a company that even Scott Walker's administration's called a great example of a Wisconsin manufacturing company. So I think the comparison is this. If you want someone who's an executive, who knows what it means to meet a payroll, to sign the front and back of a paycheck, someone who knows what it takes to create good-paying jobs, the choice is pretty clear, and that's Mary Burke. If you want someone who has been running for public office since she was 18 years old, who has pursued an ideological agenda that has not grown Wisconsin in nearly the way it should, that has not kept up pace with our neighbors, that has left our economy out in the cold, moved us to dead last in the Midwest, that's the choice in this election. Someone who knows how to create jobs, who's actually done it, versus a governor who, frankly, has not delivered on his promises and has not even come out with a plan for how he's going to grow the economy or what he would do if he were reelected.
Our caller said that Mary Burke doesn't stand a chance. I will note that next week at this time on the campaign trail segment, we intend to have pollster Charles Franklin on the new Marquette Law School poll will be released next week. And the last one showed that it was a dead heat between Walker and Burke. Do you suspect that it is still a dead heat, Mike Tate?
Well, I think we, the last Marquette poll actually showed Mary leading by one percentage point among likely voters. Earlier this week, the Rasmussen poll, which has historically been a leaning conservative poll, had the race, dead tied at a one-point race. And, historically, when you look back at governors that, under 80 days to go to the election, their approval rating underwater, their job approval underwater, 60% of the state saying their own economic situation is worse or the same than when that governor took office, and governor can't get above 47-48% of the vote. Historically, those incumbents lose. So if we're talking just pure electoral math here, Scott Walker is in quite a bit of trouble when it comes to his reelection. I think we're seeing that with his campaign consistently shifting messages, faltering. trying to figure out what they actually can say to try to blunt the fact that people know Wisconsin is not recovering at the same rate we should, and that Scott Walker's driven us to dead last in the Midwest in job growth. There's no reason that we aren't doing better, and Mary Burke's got a plan to get us back on track, to end the division, and to be someone who will work with people on all sides of the aisle to put people back to work.
Well, speaking of all sides of the aisle, David in Boscobel is with us. Hi, David.
Hi. I have a question for your guest. He's just critical of the governor for not taking the Medicaid expansion money, but it's my understanding in about 2 years, the federal government has to reauthorize giving that money to the state. And does he really believe that with the House controlled by Republicans, that they're going to reauthorize that? And if they don't, then each state that accepted that money is going to have a huge hole blown in their budget. And how would he expect to fund that?
Well, if you could be very brief on that, because we're almost short on time. I thought the question was going to be slightly different than that, Mike Tate.
Sure. Well, you know, what we've seen right now is our tax dollars going to provide people in other states with lower cost health insurance. Scott Walker turning down the $200 million in Medicaid expansion money is cost people not just access to cheap health insurance, it's cost the state money, it's cost the state jobs. And in states where they have accepted the Medicaid money, we've seen them people having more access to health care, a healthier workforce, and health care costs.
I think our caller was saying, though, that federal money is going to go away and the states that took it are going to be in trouble.
I think that, you know, there's no reason to think that that's actually going to happen. I think that, you know, we're seeing states that are run by Republicans and states run by Democrats that have accepted this money, seeing their costs come under control. I think people are continuing to see the advantages that come from access to low-cost, affordable health insurance. And I think that this is a program that's going to be around for quite a while.
Yeah. I thought he was going to talk a little bit about how can Mary Burke work with a Republican-led legislature. Is that going to be the case?
I don't think so. I think we've got an excellent shot at taking back the state Senate. I think we're going to pick up seats in the state assembly. But with that said, you know, Scott Walker has pretty much taken a my way or the highway approach to, you know, how he deals with the legislature. And it's not Mary Burke's philosophy. It's not her style. She's not going to reject an idea just because it's a Republican idea or a Democratic idea or an independent idea. She's someone who historically is willing to sit down with people of all opinions, of all stripes, and say, how can we collectively come to a decision that's best for Wisconsin? So regardless of who's in control in the legislature, and like I said, I think that the Democrats are going to take back the Senate. But Governor Burke is someone who's going to work with people from all sides of the aisle to put people back to work in Wisconsin, to make sure we have a great education system, and to make sure that Wisconsin digs out of its dead last place in the Midwest in job growth. So it's not just a matter of who's in control of the legislature. It's a matter of who's in control of the governor's office and what's their attitude. Is it this, you know, my way or the highway divisive approach we've seen from Governor Walker? Or is it someone who's willing to bring people together and say, hey, we've got to get out of the dead last place in the Midwest we are in job growth. Let's get going. I'm willing to sit down and work with anyone. And definitely not Scott Walker's approach.
Let's touch on a couple of other races, the race for attorney general in Wisconsin. Why is Susan Happ a better choice than Brad Schimmel for Wisconsin's next attorney general?
You know, I think we've seen, you know, Sue have just an absolutely convincing 72-county win in the primary. She's got a strong record as a prosecutor who puts criminals behind bars, faces tough problems head on. You know, versus somebody who would just continue in the steps of a Tea Party, you know, right-wing AG who, instead of, you know, focusing on doing things like putting sex predators in jail and focusing on real criminal activity, is doing things like trying to deny people the right to vote, working on preventing marriage equality, staying clear of, you know, helping in potential criminal investigations into Republicans. This is a guy who, you know, has a record of not prosecuting people of his own party that may have committed crimes. I think we've seen the people of Wisconsin need someone who's going to be an independent lawyer for them, someone who's going to put public safety first, and someone who's going to be an advocate for the people of Wisconsin. And I don't think you're going to find somebody stronger than Sue Happ to make sure that we restore some integrity and a true focus on keeping our family safe than Sue Happ in the Attorney General's office.
We have just a minute to go, and I want to give you the floor. Is there another issue out there that's making news on the campaign trail that that you want to tell us about?
Well, I mean, look, I think that when you look at where Mary Burke is positioned, you know, less than 80 days to go in this election, as things continue to take shape, as people in Wisconsin realize that, you know, for a while they were saying, okay, you know, there's some of this division, but we're going to give Scott Walker a chance, that he hasn't delivered on his promises, that we're dead last, the Midwest and job growth, that states around us, whether they have Republican governors or Democratic governors, are doing better than us. And in Wisconsin, we've got a great workforce. We've got great potential. We're, you know, one of the manufacturing capitals of the country. And he hasn't delivered. Mary Burke has delivered in the private sector, has a strong plan to do so. And I think that's why Mary Burke's going to be governor in November.
Thanks. Mike Tate, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We'll hear from Brian Schimming coming up after the news. We just heard from the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Mike Tate, on issues making news on the campaign trail. Now our guest from the Republican Party weighs in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, August 21st. Job creation continues to be one of the top issues in the race for governor. Is Wisconsin moving in the right direction or the wrong direction when it comes to jobs? Are there other issues or other races that you would like to talk about? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our next guest. Brian Schimming is the vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thank you for being here. Let's talk about this ad that debuted yesterday, the liberal-leaning Greater Wisconsin Committee debuted this ad that criticizes Governor Walker on the state of Wisconsin's economy, saying Wisconsin is dead last in the Midwest in job creation. Meanwhile, it goes on to say Governor Walker's Economic Development Corporation is funneling money to Governor Walker's cronies who made campaign donations. Your reaction to that ad?
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm not surprised they do that. My whoever those nameless, faceless people are over at the Greater Wisconsin Committee are the same folks who supported past administrations, including Governor Doyle's, who left the problem that Scott Walker inherited as governor, which was a sky-high unemployment rate, a state $3.5 billion in debt, hundreds of millions of dollars in tax increases. And so with all due respect to them, I'm not sure that they're the best definer of how jobs are going in Wisconsin. Look, the governor inherited an awful, awful situation. Now business leaders say 96%, as a matter of fact, say we're on the right track. We have the lowest unemployment rate that we've had since 2008. We've added over 100,000 jobs and 21,000 businesses in Wisconsin. We're actually 22nd in job creation in the country. So look, you know, if the other side wants to have a debate about jobs and about where Wisconsin is going, the last poll, I believe it was 56%, showed that 56% of the people in Wisconsin showed that they know Wisconsin's back on the right track. So if they want to have a debate about jobs, and frankly, where Scott Walker is on jobs, and look, he's an incumbent. Incumbents have to, you know, defend their records. All we say is that Mary Burke should also have to answer for her record, and we look forward. We're now less than 80 days out after all this.
Well,
after
yeah.
these 4 years, we're less than 80 days out. So.
Yeah, Mike Tate, though, made mention that we had the Great Recession in the Doyle administration, and the recovery was the promised recovery was at least 250,000 jobs.
Yeah, well, Mary Burke, when she was served as Governor Doyle's Commerce Secretary, which she did, was before the Great Recession, which Mike likes to talk about. And Wisconsin had, during her term as Commerce Secretary, it was the only time in 25 years years that Wisconsin had a higher unemployment rate than we did nationally. So I think perhaps they're a little bit forgetful about what actually happened during the Doyle administration and when the recession started. So we always say, look, the governor's more than happy to defend his record, but we just hope that that Mary Burke, and they kind of keep her, it seems as though they keep her away from reporters a little bit from answering questions about her record, and we look forward to those comparisons going forward. We have added over 100,000 jobs in Wisconsin, and that's going up. We're a half point, full half point below the national average, and we have been. And if you look at new Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers that have come out now, in fact, Wisconsin is doing better this year than the states around us, including Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, a number, and Minnesota, which they like to point to. Those are 2014 numbers. Those aren't the old numbers that Mary Burke's campaign likes to use.
Yeah, address Mike Tate's counter to that those Bureau of Labor Statistic numbers that you're citing are the unreliable monthly numbers and not the gold standard that the governor used to point to.
Well, I would say this. They're the same numbers that Mike Tate uses and that they use in the Burke campaign advertising. So if they want to complain about the numbers, perhaps they ought to go back and look at their own numbers rather than the ones. And we're at 5.8% unemployment now. And as I say, we're a full half point. We picked up very noticeably nationally in manufacturing now. And, of course, Wisconsin, it's an old manufacturing state. It tends to recover a little bit more slowly than the national recession. And the governor's had to do all of this in the teeth of a national recession that continues under President Obama. Frankly, that's an 800-pound ball and chain that governors have to haul around behind them. Scott Walker's included among those and yet is doing very, very well.
Yeah. When you say they're the same numbers, the governor, though, wants a deeper look at those numbers. They're not just the immediately released, often adjusted numbers.
Sure, but you know, we're happy to take a look at the deeper numbers as well. But for purposes of comparison, the Burke campaign likes to use the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers, and we do that comparison, and she does not fare well, and the governor does very well.
Yeah. So you're saying Wisconsin is not last in the Midwest anymore.
No, and we feel very good about where the state is going. Of course, we've had another number of good announcements this year. So we look forward to having that jobs comparison with Mary Burke, who frankly was part of the administration and endorsed, and I'll use Mary Burke's own words, entirely. She called Governor Doyle's last budget a fiscally responsible budget. Well, that budget left the state $3.5 billion in the tank and raised taxes in the hundreds of millions of dollars on the working people of Wisconsin, including a gas tax. They stole people's gas tax money to pay for other programs in the Doyle administration. That's Mary Burke's, apparently, by her own words, that's her definition of fiscally responsible. Well, that's not my definition of fiscally responsible.
Does Governor Walker want to run against Jim Doyle?
Well, I think, you know, we talk about records, and I do. I'd say with any incumbent, Republican or Democrat, you know, they have records and they should have to defend them. The truth of the matter is, though, is that Mary Burke would like to put some distance between herself and Jim Doyle, almost as if it didn't happen, almost as if she wasn't there as his commerce secretary. And yet, part of her background, obviously a big part of it, is Commerce Secretary. She likes to brag about it. She testified in front of the legislature in favor of Governor Doyle's last budget. Her record is tied to Jim Doyle's. I think it's perfectly fine to compare those records during those years. They're factual, so we're happy to compare them.
Well, let's move on to another issue that we addressed with Mike Tate. According to the Fiscal Bureau, If Governor Walker would have accepted the federal funding to expand Medicaid, the state would have saved $206 million in the current budget, $315 million in the next budget. How convinced are you that Walker did the right thing?
I'm completely convinced he did the right thing, and here's why. That Fiscal Bureau paper, and I've dealt with the Fiscal Bureau, I've known them all over there for a lot of years, they were asked by a Democrat legislator to answer specific questions about the Medicaid situation. The truth of the matter is that had Wisconsin made the mistake of taking the federal Medicaid kind of offer, it would have put the state on the hook for a lot of money and for a lot of years when the feds were going to back off on their commitment. And so I think the concern on the governor's part, I know the concern on the governor's part, number one, it would add, on a national basis, it would add over $80 billion to the national debt. We have to stop pretending that federal money is not taxpayer money. Federal money that they are offering us, they're trying to bribe us with our own money. And so he decided, wisely, I think, not to take that bait. Secondly, right now, under Governor Walker's reform, for the first time in history, every person living in poverty in Wisconsin has access to Badger Care. The Kaiser Family Foundation study showed that starting April 1st, Wisconsin will be the only state in the country because of the governor's reforms with no coverage gap. And by the way, that was not the case when Jim Doyle left office. They left office with a list, a waiting list, as they call it. They left office with a waiting list of people in coverage. Those people will now be covered under the governor's reform. So I think this whole business of kind of a fixed set of questions about Medicaid, I think it's an important one. We're happy to talk about this because we're going to eliminate waiting lists. And by the way, Wisconsin, under Governor Walker, has one of the lowest uninsured rates in the country. That's something they don't want to talk about.
We are talking with Brian Schimming. He is the vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. He is talking with us about some of the issues that are making news this week on the campaign trail. We'll talk about some other issues, some other races as well in the state of Wisconsin, leading up to election 2014, and we welcome your questions. We welcome the issues that you want to talk about at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are on the campaign trail once again this week, talking about issues making news in election 2014 with Brian Schimming in this half hour. He is vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. We heard from Mike Tate, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, in our previous half hour. And we welcome your questions for Brian at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And before we go to the phones, Brian Schimming, I just want to clarify, I didn't speak very gracefully when I was trying to talk about the jobs numbers. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel points out that when Governor Walker responded to the ad by the Greater Wisconsin Committee, he was using the numbers that you get from the monthly numbers, numbers that he has said were that were unreliable or fluctuate significantly. And he says instead we should be looking at the quarterly figures, which he called the gold standard. So while they come from the same place, they are different numbers.
Sure, but for the purposes of comparison with the Burke campaign, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they do the three-year average, which is kind of what they use historically. And then they do. You have to wait for those averages. You have to wait for those numbers to come out. So we kind of, you have to use what you got available to you right now.
So the 3 month the three month numbers say were last in the Midwest. The very latest monthly numbers that came out say that may not be the case anymore.
Right. The Illinois Policy Institute looked at all of the Midwestern states and found that the Burke campaign's claims on those matters are not accurate. So
Scott in New Glarus is with us. Hello, Scott.
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering if Brian has seen the video clip of Governor Walker when he meets with Diane Hendricks, and he talks about making Wisconsin a right-to-work state and to divide and conquer as a political strategy. I'm wondering if you think that would lead to more jobs in Wisconsin.
Well, the governor has signaled more than once, actually, that he's not seeking right-to-work legislation. I know that's a good canard for the Democrats, but that he's not seeking right-to-work legislation and hasn't and had a perfect opportunity to do so. Frankly, if he really wanted to do so, he could have. He had a Republican legislature, and maybe they've been, could have been coaxed into doing it, and they decided not to do it. So I know that's kind of a canard in campaign season, but the truth of the matter is when he had an opportunity to do it, he didn't. So I guess we'll take him at that.
Let's go next to Mike in Milwaukee. Hello, Mike.
Hi. I'm a bit frustrated when I hear the discussions about comparing against past administrations and so forth. It seems to me that it's a bit hypocritical, or a lot hypocritical, for this particular guest to, in one breath, talk about running against Jim Doyle and one of his cabinet persons, Mary Burke, and then saying how Scott Walker had such a tough sled of it because of what Jim Doyle handed to him when Scott Walker came into office. Yet almost in the same breath, he turned around and then suggested that President Obama was the cause or the problem behind the national economy, and that Scott Walker had to operate in that Obama's economy, so to speak. Yet Obama inherited that from George Bush. That was not something, you know, all of the things that caused the Great Recession.
All right, Mike, because we have limited time, are you being hypocritical, Brian?
No, not at all. I mean, President Obama has now been in office for going on, what, 5.5 or 6 years here, and consider that 65% of the country on the latest Real Clear Politics average think the country is heading in the wrong direction. And the last time President Obama came to the state, Mary Burke literally went as far out in western Wisconsin away from the president as she possibly could. I don't think she's probably anxious to defend the current situation either. Look, I'm kind of intrigued that Mary Burke would spend so much time trying to get away from the administration that she was a critical part of. Now, if she'd just been a contributor to Jim Doyle or showed up at a fundraiser or put her name on a supporter list, that would be one thing. But she was in a key cabinet spot and, in fact, is on record repeatedly endorsing and implementing the programs of that administration. Well, I don't think it's unfair to say, well, that's part of our record. I don't think that's unfair at all.
Yeah. So why do you think polls show this race in a dead heat?
Well, the truth of the matter is, I was talking to somebody about this in Stevens Point on Tuesday, and I they're asking a very similar question. And I said, look, they declared war on Governor Scott Walker the day he got elected. They were talking recall even before Act 10 was put into place, for crying out loud. So they have been in a 3 year or whatever it is war against Scott Walker from the get go. We had kind of a midterm grade on Scott Walker when the polls actually, as you recall, were very similar to the way they are now. It was very, very close. And Scott Walker won that election by a bigger margin than he'd won the first time. He won county executive job in Milwaukee several times in a row by bigger margins every single time because people, you know, he had to endure the kind of attacks that he is now. You know, my attitude on this, and we've all been around this a long time, is that this will be close to the end simply because they have been at war against Scott Walker every single day of his administration. I think my friend Mike Tate, his rhetoric shows that. So, the governor's attitude, and I introduced him at a rally last Tuesday night, has been this is going to be close to the end, and the polling is going to show it close to the end, and that'll be fine. I think we're going to have a terrific discussion, and I really believe he'll win in the end. But he's had to suffer through what no other governor in either party, for that matter, in any state of the country has gone through, that recall. And I think that's part of the close numbers, and we'll deal with that right up till the end.
Yeah. Well, let's touch on a couple of other races.
Sure.
While we have time. And we had the Democratic Jefferson County District Attorney, Susan Happ, mm-hmm. winning big in the Democratic primary.
Yeah.
Last week or whenever that was, and
yeah.
She will be facing Waukesha County DA Brad Schimmel now for Wisconsin's next attorney general. Some are saying, hey, Brad Schimmel has his hands full with Susan Happ. What's your assessment of that race?
Well, I'm very excited. I know Brad Schimmel. He is a very, very well-liked and well-respected district attorney. He's been DA in Waukesha County for several years. He's got 25 years of prosecuting cases. He's prosecuted, I think, 150 cases over the years personally in court. He's got magnificent. He really, really is one of the best qualified folks that I've ever seen run for attorney general. He's done criminal, done civil, he's really done. I mean, the attorney general's office is a very broad scope of issues that you have to deal with. And I don't know if I've seen a lot of people that are more qualified than he is. So I think with respect to Susan Happ, and I do not know her personally, so all I would say is there is a vast, vast difference in the experience there. I think she's only prosecuted 7 cases in court personally as a district attorney. Well, I want the top attorney I can find to be the top cop in Wisconsin, and Brad Schimmel clearly is that. So, but it's an open seat. You don't have an incumbent there. And so, you know, we've always assumed on that one, too, that you'd go for a fight till the end.
What's going to happen in the 6th Congressional District? Glenn Grothman and Joe Lipum are very close in that race, but is it going to be Glenn Grothman?
From what I've seen, I guess the canvas was finished yesterday, or maybe they're finishing it this morning. I think it'll be Glenn from what we can see, if it was 217 votes or whatever it is right now on the margin, which is pretty close. There might be a recount, but I feel good about that race for either one of them who wins, but I feel good about that race either way. It is a district that leans slightly, not overwhelmingly, but slightly Republican. Glenn Grothman, very active on jobs and economic development issues in the legislature, actually. It was co-sponsored a number of bills that the governor signed. So I feel good about that one, but I guess we got to wait for him to do the final certification to find out.
Would the Republican Party discourage Joe Lipum from asking for a recount?
I don't know that we discourage him from doing it. I've been involved in a lot of recounts over the years, and you know, it's a tough decision when the race is close. I think it would seem to me, what I've seen of it anyway, is that 200 and some votes is hard to overturn. I wouldn't be surprised if Joe asked for a recount. I don't think we'd be actively discouraging him from doing it. It's such a personal decision for a candidate. I think the right decision will get made quickly here.
All right, so we just have less than a minute to go. I'm going to give the floor to you like I did to Mike Tate. Any other issue out there making news that you think we should know about?
No, to me, going forward here, I think this election between Governor Walker and Mary Burke truly is a discussion about whether the state is going to move forward or going to move backward. When you've got a vast majority of the people in the state saying, yeah, we're moving forward again, things are looking good, jobs are going well, economic development's going well, we're helping people who have needs. We've had a great reform 4 years. We're looking forward to that discussion about the records of the two candidates, and I think that's what's best for the people out there, for the voters out there who want to get a look at these two candidates.
All right. Thanks a lot for being here.
You bet.
Brian Schimming is the vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Next week on the campaign trail, every week at this time, we examine issues making news on the campaign trail. We hope to have pollster Charles Franklin with us to talk about the latest Marquette University poll with the latest numbers on the race for governor. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.